Eddie, it is another episode of More Important Issues coming to you early on a Sunday. It's maybe we're excited about a Vol Series win over Kentucky, another baseball one. Not that we're shocked, we're just excited. I don't know, maybe it's the great weather. I'm sunburnt. I think Landon's a little sunburnt too, but we're coming at you a little early.
A little toasted, but we're good. Yep. We're here.
We always make it no matter what. It's good to be back. We're excited again to talk about that Vol Series win. I'm kind of a fan of the Friday or the Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Am I the only one?
Yeah, you get a little bit of time in the weekend to celebrate it, I guess.
Yeah, it's just also like, you know, Sunday games feel like, I don't know, Sunday games just have a weird feeling to them. Obviously, sometimes they're exciting, but so there's something about like that Saturday, especially when it's a night game, which you didn't get yesterday, but like a Saturday night game to win the series, that's exciting. So there's just something about that, but also going to be talking about the,
I think everybody wants a championship on a Saturday. That's the day to do it. So yeah, I mean, exactly. You know, I know college football wants to do everything on like a Tuesday, which doesn't make any sense, but, or is it a Monday?
Monday.
Monday. Yeah.
Monday.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't make any sense, but, yeah, I do kind of like the weekend series to end on a Saturday.
Yeah, makes it adds a little of that special feeling to it. And but then we're going to talking about the NFL draft, specifically Vols taken, NFL draft, undrafted, whatever it may be. We will be talking about some of those, plus the terrible guys. Just don't tweet. That's the rule. Don't tweet. That's it. Just put it down. Also, transfer portal news. Excited to talk about a guy that's I guess he officially committed. Also some more, but I think I told you I think I'd spend all of my transfer room on linebackers.
Yeah. Or on the defense. If you have to
go somebody
on, but yeah, it would definitely need to be on the defense for me to use up some of those scholarships for sure.
Right. Right. And then we're also going to be, we're going to just give our opinion on neutral site games. I think most of you know mine. I'm pretty passionate about that. That's one thing. That's my calling to life, is to end neutral site games in at least beginning first game of the season.
We all have one. So, that's yours.
And then, of course, baseball. I can't wait. Tony V's got him going. No slowing down. I know everyone freaked out a little bit after that Friday game when Kentucky got the bats going. But at the end of the day, they got the series win. That's all that matters. That's it.
Yeah, we're here celebrating a win. That's, you know, you go into every weekend wanting to win the series. Yeah, a sweep would have been nice, but we're going to take a series all day, every day. And so here we are. Six SEC series. I don't know when's the last time Tennessee's done that, but still got three left.
Ooh.
Let's make it nine.
Let's get to nine. You got some chances to. You definitely got some chances to. Hey, drop those questions in the chat if you've got them throughout the show. We always want to talk about what you want to talk about. Tell us where you're listening from. I'm sure we got some French Falls. I know that's become popular in the last couple of years with Rick Barnes apparently going European on us. So,
yeah, I love the overseas crowd. Also, go check out our sponsors, Tennessee Tap House, Hound Dogs, and Blue Water Climate Control. Here is a quick word from our good friends at Blue Water Climate Control.
People always ask, where did we get the name Blue Water Climate Control? When a Navy ship casts off lines, exits the harbor, and loses sight of land, that's blue water sailing. It takes a team of people to do that. Tireless work, focus, and attention to detail. So much of starting a business is just like that. After it's done, you get filled with deep satisfaction for accomplishing something, and it's quickly followed by, now the real work begins. We're Blue Water Climate Control.
All right, guys, let's get it. In first episode of May of 2021. We'll see you guys on the other side. Let's talk some Vols.
Vols are back.
Yeah, they had us the first half. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, could be Wayne.
I think I got my swagger back. Oh, oh.
Woo-hoo! I love it, baby.
Them orange britches. Something about them orange britches.
Tennessee wins!
That is by Tennessee, Jawan Jennings. Jennings makes the catch.
You win! Get my 49ers, six men!
made up my mind, and I don't expect to ever look back. I'm going to stay at the University of Tennessee. Yeah!
Riddit, dit to do, and welcome into More Important Issues. It is Sunday, May 2nd. The NFL draft has concluded. We are going to talk about some of the Vols. I guess let's just get right into that because, unfortunately not a lot of Vols taken. Josh Palmer, you knew teams were kind of like, you knew he was going to be late. So you knew some teams kind of were, salivating over the idea of getting a talent like that later.
Yeah, I think it's huge for him. Just because like he was kind of hurt because he's had bad quarterback play since he's been here. And so the fact that he never had over 500 yards in a season is wild for me. As in, like, if I was an NFL GM, I'd be like, looking at his stats, you're like, oh no, this dude isn't a third round pick. But when you look at his tape and look who, his best performances, his best plays are against some of the best DBs in the country, then you're like, okay, maybe this kid's something. So I think it's good for him. A guy that just kind of stuck around at Tennessee, probably could have left and went elsewhere. Kind of stuck around and he's another Tennessee player that was underused and will probably have a good NFL career.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the first point of that, definitely a victim of bad quarterback play. Not just from one guy, as much as we like to place the blame, but just from the whole room at the time, just no consistent good quarterback play. And I gotta think too. You mentioned how like GMs are looking at the raw talent. I gotta think too. People took notice of a guy like Marquez Callaway, where you're like, he had a ton of like these intangibles, but just did not produce enough to even draft him. And mm-hmm. then they see. They see what he does as an undrafted free agent in New Orleans this year. And they've got to think, well, if we get a guy that looks like him looks like him when we go look at pro day and we look at the stats, is it something maybe we move on? So like you said, third round's probably too high for him. Like it probably put him in a position where it's like that's bust room right. for him. But definitely, a guy that you knew wasn't going to go super high, but you're like, yeah, he's going to get a chance at some point in his career to play in the NFL, and good that he got drafted third round. It means the Chargers are going to spend a lot of time and money on him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think just playing in the SEC really helped his stock a ton too. You saw the touchdowns on, I think, JC Horn, Patrick mm-hmm. Surtain, guys that were in the top 10 this year in the draft. So yeah, I mean, it had some of the best plays and performances against some of those top guys. And I think that's where the tape, you're just like, okay, wow, this kid can play.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, it's gonna be exciting. He kind of, I think a lot of people would agree, he's probably been the one of more like NFL look like tight looking wide receivers that Tennessee's had, and not necessarily, like you said, stat wise, not been necessarily the best. So it's gonna be interesting to see how his NFL career pans out. Obviously, you can't say he's gonna be the guy. He's definitely got the best chance of the last of the three guys, Juwan Jennings, Marquez Callaway, and him getting drafted third round, probably going to a pretty good situation where San Diego's got a decent, wide receiver room mixed with.
Whoa.
LA. Was decent too. Oh, shoot. Yeah. Sorry. Oh, my God. I think that's the second time I've said it. LA Chargers. Sorry. Yeah. And, but yeah, decent quarterback room too. I mean, or, with golly. Forgot his name already. I'm terrible with names, clearly. Justin Herbert, and a guy that looked good in his rookie year, kind of see what happens his sophomore year. I think it's a great chance for him. I think it's going to be good for Josh Palmer.
Yeah, I think he's got, like you said, a young quarterback. They're kind of building that roster around Justin Herbert. So, yeah, I think a good young receiver alongside of a guy like Herbert is, really – really good for him, probably sets him up for success there.
Right, right. So, obviously, to the talk of the town, or do we want to wait last for that? Do we want to get to him last?
We can do that. I guess the only other one we really know about right now, I don't think there's any news on Brandon Kennedy, but mm-hmm. Bryce Thompson has signed a undrafted free agent deal with the New Orleans Saints. You know, they apparently love Tennessee players. It's the Steelers, the Steelers and the Saints love Tennessee players.
Yeah, they've benefited from them lately.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, Callaway was an undrafted one as well. So, you know, it doesn't really matter to them if they draft you or not. If you can play, you can play. And I think Bryce Thompson, you know, people are always going to say, yeah, he should have came back for his last year, but who knows what it turns out to be like.
Yeah, I think the only time you're probably looking at that, obviously undrafted, but I mean, I think it, if he didn't play this year, because I mean, he's bad on injury, and then he was the kind of, you know, not to, you know, put the blame on other people, because obviously, you know, he just didn't perform quite to the standard of where he probably wanted to necessarily throughout the entire year. Obviously, he had some moments, but he also got moved around a lot. He was kind of, you know, he was being put into places to help just the team, not necessarily him. I mean, you gotta do that. It's part of being on a football team. But I mean, could his draft stock have been better if he's playing all year on the outside where he's going to play in the NFL?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I could see him maybe playing that nickel position too. You've seen a lot of former Tennessee players that, you know, aren't the fastest or things like that really make a name for themselves in the NFL with the nickel side of things. So,
and he'll have to improve at the nickel. When he was there for Tennessee, you know, it was more by need than anything else, not because he won the position.
Right. Yeah, but he was definitely Tennessee's best player in the secondary last year. I mean, you know, he has the ball skills. He can return kicks and punts. So I think he'll be a great special teams player and maybe be in the rotation in that defensive backfield for the Saints.
I mean, yeah, we'll see. I don't know. Would you rather? I guess you want to go drafted because you get the nice bonus. But you get a chance. Like, you're going to be there in rookie camp and get a chance to get on the roster. You're not just looking for practice squads or something. So
Yeah, for sure. So let's get into it. Trey Smith goes number 226th overall in the sixth round. And I mean, can you get a better situation than what he fell into?
You know, and I don't really know, looking at that offense, like in terms of like the organization, he's in a great organization. I don't know like what his kind of future with them looks like in terms of like, what are, you know, is there a need at guard that, you know, Kansas City thinks he might be able to address along with some other guys? Like, I don't know what that looks like. Obviously you're talking about a team that played in the Super Bowl this year. So their needs aren't probably incredibly high. But yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, it's a great organization. It sucks for Trey Smith that he fell that low. Obviously that's lost money. But I mean, listen, was his play phenomenal this year? No. But a lot of people talking about how he got his ass blown up this year. No, he didn't. His drop was due, maybe some to play. Maybe. I mean, obviously you can't 100% say that, but a lot of it's medical. That's a fact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's the reason he dropped so much, because a lot of people had him in the top 100 prospects when they, you know, listed that out. I think Pro Football Focus, which they're Pro Football Focus, you got to take it with a grain of salt, but they had him like 85th. I think the National Mock Drafts guy, Derek something, starts with a W. He had him like number 100 or something like that. So he shouldn't have dropped all the way to 226, but yeah, it's because of the blood clots. I think a lot of it too is like his practice schedule is weird. And I think it's a process that, you know, a team has to buy into to really get him to where he can, you know, be set up for success. It's something else that they've got to look at as a training staff and things like that. So I think it does take the right organization to take a chance, because, yeah, I mean, it is a chance, I guess.
Oh, it's a chance. I mean, he could go to the doctor tomorrow and find out he cannot play football again.
Correct.
That's a possibility, which, I mean, to be fair, it's a possibility with everyone, but a guy that, you know, has a history and a lot, you know, I think maybe some Tennessee fans just want to defend the guy because, I mean, yeah, he gave his all. I get it. I'm not like bashing him for it. But, like, I mean, it's a chance to risk. Like, if you draft him, you know, where he's projected in, like, the, you know, third, fourth round, that's more money than, sixth. And so you're taking a chance. Now, they're taking chances on guys still, though. Like, I mean, in that later round, you're taking chances on guys that you may never end up signing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but and the fact that he was able to hear his name called, I was going to hate it for him if he went through all that and didn't get his name called throughout the entire draft. I think that would have been very upsetting to him. But, yeah, he got his name called. So, I mean, what really is the difference in the fourth round and the sixth round? Let's maybe a little bit of money, but let's be honest. Like, no one gives a crap if you are a fourth round or a sixth round pick.
Yeah, it's kind of forgotten about. And, hey, maybe it gives you a little chip on your shoulder.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Maybe take it personal.
Exactly. And, I mean, I think Trey Smith takes everything – the way he plays football, it looks like he takes everything personal. So
Correct. So Mike Farrell, man.
Dumb tweets stay dumb. How do you hit send on that and be like, this one's going to pop off? This is it. Like, in a good way, pop off.
Yeah, let me take a victory lap real quick because, all right, let's break it down to what he actually said. So he's like, yeah, for all the five, I should have gave Trey Smith a five-star crowd. Where's my gift baskets or whatever? I have the exact tweet. Hold on, let me get it.
Well, and so while you're pulling that up, let's kind of go back to this. Like, where do most five-star linemen, where are they going in the draft anyways? You know, like, I mean, they're like, he's acting like they rated him correctly because of where he went or where he went in the draft. You also still had him at a four-star. Are all your four-stars going in the sixth round? Like, just none of it makes sense. That's what I'm getting at.
Right. So this is a tweet. I'll be waiting for the gift baskets and apologies from the Trey Smith should have been a five-star crowd or for the excuses, one or the other. I mean, like, how do you take a victory lap for – because I looked at the rankings for Rivals. They had him at 49th.
He's just uninformed.
The last fifth star that they gave was 34. So 15 spots. You're taking a victory lap over 15 spots.
But I mean, also, like, he just has to be uninformed. I'll weigh on the excuses, like the excuse that, you know, he could die walking to the fridge, like, and he's still playing football, and teams have to take a chance. None of the tweet made sense. It has to, like, he needs to, not only does he need to apologize, he needs to apologize for just flat out not knowing anything about Trey Smith. Like, I'm uninformed, that's it. Like, and I'm an idiot for tweeting that. Because he did apologize. It seemed late to me. I don't care. I mean, he said he texted Trey Smith. I don't know if he did. That's who you need to apologize because you look like just an a-hole. So,
right. Yeah, maybe your punishment should go one-on-one with Trey Smith and see if you want to re-rank him after that. Also, he didn't give Devontae Smith a five-star. So, if we're just – you want us to call you out every time you get one wrong?
You're right, and that's the funny thing is, you know, I'm sure the Rivals and the 247 tweets happened on yesterday. I'm sure they, you know, this many 4 and 5 stars went in the first round. Yeah, but how many 4 and 5 stars didn't go in the first round? And how many, you know, how many 3 star, you know, because it's just like, you got some right, cool, but like how, I don't know.
Marvin Wilson was a 5-star, didn't get drafted. Dylan Moses, 5-star, didn't get drafted. So there's two that you just whiffed on. So there you go, bud.
Yeah. So it's all just, and I love that they make it seem like rocket science. I don't know. It's funny. It's hilarious.
What was the evaluate those 15 spots that you didn't have him as a 5-star? Like, what was there one thing you're just like, oh, nope, he doesn't fit that. Can't give him the 5th star.
Well, my favorite thing too was last year during COVID when they're like, we just had a much better chance to evaluate players. And that's why we like were randomly moving them. And I'm like, I don't know. It's just like, yeah, but you're also evaluating them on year-old film.
Right.
So what are you really evaluating? Also, I don't know. It's hilarious. The recruiting thing's hilarious. Obviously, stars, I mean, we talk about it with recruiting rankings. Like, there is a, like, rhyme and reason to stars, but it's not exact. Like, it's not. And they try to make it seem. I don't know. It's like, funny.
Dude, it was 4 years ago.
That, too.
A lot can change. I mean, like, Trey Smith had like a serious issue.
Right. That's funny. He's an idiot. Mike Farrell's an idiot. That's I love when like you know, we're like, oh, he got bullied. Yeah, he did. He got bullied in the right way. Like, that's what bullying should be used for.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you get
bullying was good today.
You do something stupid, and not only did he tweet it out, somebody commented on it, and he defended what he said. So he did it. He made the mistake twice.
Yeah, he also definitely got told to take the tweet down. The tweet was up for hours.
Right.
Hours. So, yeah, he got a chance. Yeah, he got a chance to reevaluate it with his boss. Is what happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Transfer portal news. Tennessee's hit the transfer portal. Making maybe good on it. So what's the news with Juwan Howard? I know like today, like right before he hopped on, kind of seemed Mitchell. Like it was official. Juwan Mitchell. Sorry, not Juwan Howard. Juwan Mitchell seemed like it got official here in the last couple hours, actually, which is good for Tennessee.
Yeah, I think like that's where it's looking like it's heading. I think he's got to finish out the semester.
Okay.
So maybe some academic stuff that he's got to take care of to then be eligible at Tennessee.
Gotcha.
So I think that's what the holdup is. So he's probably just going to show up and not just make a announce. He might do something on Twitter, but it's not going to be like a big thing. It's going to be like the Joel gotcha. Milton. Like, he's probably just going to be here and be like, hey,
I'm here now.
To Tennessee. Yeah. Yeah. So
already enrolled. We're here.
But I think that's huge for Tennessee. He was Texas's leading tackler last year. So, you know, you said it earlier in the show that, you know, if they're going to use those scholarships, they need to use them on linebackers. Yeah, absolutely. And that's a guy that they coveted and really wanted. And, you know, hopefully he gets things taken care of and he's at Tennessee that can help that linebacker room tremendously.
Right. And yeah, and he should. I mean, he's going to be a guy that rolls in here and is going to be an anchor in that room and in the middle. So I mean, we've been saying it for weeks when it's kind of been like, you know, Tennessee's linked to him or whatever, that they needed to get him. And then that would be big for Tennessee. And then if it's official, that's going to be huge.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think he's got 2 years and I think he could possibly have three. I think he's trying to get a waiver for one.
Interesting. Okay. I wonder how many he'll use. I mean, I guess if he's getting a waiver for three, he's planning on at least using two then. I don't know.
Yeah. So, yeah, hopefully you have him for two at least. You know, three would be great, I guess, if he's a good player. But if he's good enough, I guess one or two is perfectly fine with Tennessee if he's that good. So we'll take it. We'll take what we can get, especially a linebacker.
No, anybody in here at this point. Obviously, Juwan Mitchell, like you said, leading tackler in Texas is awesome, but just anybody, a linebacker would be nice.
Yeah, we talked to Eric Kane, and, you know, he said he's got some eligibility left, but he doesn't know if they want him.
He phrased it that way. He seemed like it was like it's not you, it's me. So is it? Can Tennessee not even get him at this point? No slight to Eric Kane, but like, is it? Have we fallen that far?
Yeah, I mean, maybe. Maybe.
Love it.
I hope.
Any other transfer portal news that Tennessee fans need to be looking out for in the next coming days?
So they did get a commitment from a defensive lineman, Caleb Tremblay from USC. We are the Tennessee Trojans now. In case you didn't know, that's the third. I think third USC player that's transferred in the past couple of years to Tennessee. So, yeah, another body at defensive line. Big white guy, 6'5", 270. He had 21 tackles, three and a half tackles for loss, two sacks in his career at USC. I think this will be his last year. I think he's just got 1 year.
1 year, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, a guy that can maybe eat up some blocks, maybe help Tennessee because, I mean, they have bodies, but, you know, they lost Isaac Washington. So they've lost some of those defensive linemen. And, you know, I think it goes to show that, you know, maybe Rodney Garner is not satisfied with who he has on this roster. So he wanted to get some competition going, maybe get some more bodies in here, some guys that he can think can do the job for Tennessee.
Yeah. I mean, bodies at this point, like you said, it's a couple losses here in the offseason to Tennessee, maybe unexpected. So definitely good to have him on.
Yep.
And name too.
Yeah. Great name. And we had two more guys enter the transfer portal. I mean, man, it's just like a ever-changing thing at Tennessee. Like, we're always going to have.
Yeah, but you expected those two. Kyle, well, yeah, I guess you didn't expect them. You knew there was possibly a chance, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, those are two of the guys that were suspended for that incident in the dorm. And you know, Isaac Washington, Martavius French are two of those. Martavius French was part of that 2019 class. He was part of that Whitehaven trio, mm-hmm. that linebacker core that Tennessee got. But yeah, it makes me I think there is – so Caden Salter and Aaron Willis, I think they are – going to be given the opportunity to come back, but it looks like those other two were not. So Caden Salter's, like, they dropped the charges on him,
right?
But I don't, like, it just seems like maybe not all of them were on the same, like, they were like different punishments, or, you know,
so like the charges were still possibly, you know, with some others. Is that
what you're saying? Yeah, maybe not, like, gotcha. Maybe some of it was more severe than, you know,
gotcha.
Salter's yeah. involvement or something like that. Maybe those guys saw the, hey, they're probably going to get us out of here, so we might as well just hit the transfer portal.
Right.
So, I mean, those two were two of the 2021 class. I mean, I don't even know who's freaking left in this 2021 class.
No, I maybe we should do in the arms of an angel, and just have them like dropping off the off the charts. Sure.
Because, like, again, I think it goes back to when you made the decision to fire Jeremy Pruitt. Like, you made all those kids sign, and now they're all leaving.
Yeah.
Like, what was the point in waiting until after signing day? Why didn't you just do it before then? I don't know.
Right.
I'll never understand that. But
it was definitely, I mean, yeah, like you said, they knew what was going to happen. So,
yeah, I mean, you could have got – if you would have done it beforehand, and, you know, I know there was some stuff he had to take care of and, you know, investigate and things like that. But, you know, if you could have done it sooner, at least Josh Heupel would have had a few weeks to try to scramble and get a, you know, recruiting staff, number one, together, and then maybe get some guys in here that, you know, some of his guys that he can recruit. Because, I mean, right. none of those kids besides, like, I think Joe Milton and Caleb Tremblay will be the only two that Josh Heupel has recruited on this roster. So, when Jeremy Pruitt took over the job, he got, you know, a month, a couple weeks to put sort of class together. So, Josh Heupel didn't get that opportunity. And so, that's the timing of the decision to fire Jeremy Pruitt is one that I'll never understand. So. I'm not gonna.
I mean, they tried to go the Phoenix route of burning it to the ground. They want to rise from ashes, and we'll see. We'll see if it paid out. I don't know.
It's not looking great so far.
Yeah, it's not definitely not a. I wouldn't call it a positive yet. That's for sure. Right.
Yeah, I don't know if that rising from ashes is something that I want to be a part of right now.
Neutral site games. So Tennessee announced they're playing Charlotte. Again, or not Charlotte, West Virginia in Charlotte again for the second time in like 10 years, less than 10 years. It'll be what?
It'll be 10 years.
It'll be 10 years. Is it 20? Was that what year was that? 2018? Okay. Yeah. It was 2018. I was thinking it was 2017 or no, 2019. I don't know what year I was thinking it was. But yeah, that 2018 was when Tennessee went to play in the, I guess it was the Belk Bowl kickoff thing.
Yeah.
Is that what it's called? Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
I just don't get the kickoff games. I think they're really stupid. I think college football is cool because of the college campuses and the college stadiums and the environment. And you're taking all that away by doing neutral site games. I will say this. Cool neutral site games are games that are like once in a lifetime. Like when they play them at like Battle of Bristol was awesome. Like that's a cool environment. It's cool one time. It's not a multiple game thing. Yankee Stadium, it's cool. Did they play one in Wrigley recently?
I don't think they're out.
I don't think it would be big enough in the outfield now that I think about it. But didn't Chicago, the Bears used to play in Wrigley like a long time ago, right? So maybe that's where I'm getting that.
I don't know. Maybe.
Well, they did. But cool. Like those games are cool. Like when it's like, we don't do bowl games there. This is like a, you know, we made a contract to do a game here with two schools. Like, and when it means something, like it wouldn't be cool for like USC and, I don't know, pick a team like Alabama to play in Yankee Stadium. Like, that's not cool.
Right.
Like Tennessee and Virginia Tech meeting halfway in Johnson's or in Bristol. That's cool. It was Notre Dame and who else in Yankee? Like that, like two northern northeast teams that play. Like, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, yeah. I don't remember who the other one was.
Yeah, but like those environments are cool. Like, if I guess the Rose Bowl would be like a neutral site for, is anybody playing the Rose Bowl now? I don't think anybody does for a home game. Because USC plays in the Coliseum.
Is UCLA not the Rose Bowl?
Yes, they are. I was thinking, okay. I think they are. I think it was Cal who I was thinking of that has their own stadium. Okay. So, yeah, I mean, like, which the Rose Bowl is a little bit different. It has its own, like, but like, that's a historic stadium. It's not like Bank of America. It's not Mercedes-Benz. Like, it's, yeah, like, to me, it has a different tone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just, so was it Notre Dame and Army?
That really interesting. I mean, it's still cool. Like, that, it just seems like weird, but possibly. I can look it up real quick. But yeah, those games are cool.
Yeah, it was Syracuse.
Okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, a New York team. So, yeah, that was – it made a lot more sense than, like you said, USC and Alabama.
Right.
But, yeah, like, once-in-a-lifetime thing, it's not something you want to do. And, like, what does Tennessee and West Virginia – this game means absolutely nothing. There's no history. There's nothing to tie them together. It's just a random – and if you're going to do that, like, Tennessee and Oklahoma, like, it doesn't make sense to play a neutral side game somewhere. But no, home and home, like, that's
it. Also, it also doesn't make sense to play home and home, like, you know, 7 years apart. Like, we should have played another Power 5 team. So that's another issue that I'm taking with.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you played them 10 years ago, and right. And the only history was it was Jeremy Pruitt's first game. Like, that's literally the only history.
Right. So. It was dumb. Like, it was like, we should be going, like, it would be cool if Tennessee had gone to West Virginia last time and West Virginia was coming here in 2027 or vice versa. Like, that Morgantown's a great college town. It would have been a great game for Tennessee to go play.
And I just don't understand, like, is it a money thing? Like, how much are these, like, what's the money, like, doing a home and home than a neutral site game? Like, is there a big difference? Do you? I would think you'd make more money in a home and home than you would a neutral site game, but I don't know the logistics of that.
I don't know the logistics. My guess is, though, that, like, both teams profit when they play the neutral site game, whereas, like, in a home and home, you only profit the year that you actually host.
Right.
But you, so I would say that's the benefit. Big. Now, yeah. I mean, yeah, but I'd say it's pretty – I would say – because, I mean, I'm sure the bowls compensate you. So, I would say it's close. And I mean, the bigger the bowl, like, I bet Chick-fil-A would pay more than the Belk and I guess it's the Cotton Bowl kickoff in Dallas. I bet it pays, you know, pretty good. But I mean, yeah, but it's not fun. Like, who wants to watch Alabama beat the crap out of somebody in Dallas again? Like, no one, like, it should be home and home. Like, that, it's that simple. Neutral site games for college kickoffs should not exist.
I agree. And the one, like, looking back on Philip Fulmer, that was the one thing he was not going to do is do neutral side games. He hated them, and he was never going to do it. And it looks like Danny White that's the first thing he does is schedule a neutral side game. So.
Right, which is so weird for a guy who came from UCF who was, like, not – he refused to play a 2-1 at Florida.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I thought was a great opportunity for a program like UCF.
Yeah, he didn't want any part of that.
So, very interesting decision as far as that goes. So sad. I want to see us play a prominent college football team again, home and home. Like, let's go to UCLA. We haven't played UCLA since, like, the early 2000s. Then bring UCLA here. Let's find a way to get.
I'd rather go to Michigan State
on the schedule.
I'd rather go to BYU away than go to Charlotte again and watch us.
I agree. I 100% agree. Let's get. Notre Dame. What happened to Notre Dame in Tennessee?
Yeah, let's do that.
When's the last? I mean, Tennessee and like I don't know. And I know with the playoffs, like Power Five, you know, they've got to watch out for their. But like, go. It's stupid. They need to figure out a way to force Power Five teams to play each other.
Yeah,
the NCAA apparently has all this control. Use it.
Use it for something good.
Right. Yeah. not to keep student athletes from, you know, getting their great aunt to buy them a car or something. I don't know.
Right.
So stupid. Yeah. Not a fan of neutral sites.
No, it's just dumb. Just dumb. Doesn't make a lot of sense. I mean, like, it's like we're going to be sitting there. I mean, we might go, but I mean, it's literally going to be like,
go. It's a short drive.
Yeah, but it's going to be like deja vu. You're like, man, I've done this before.
Right.
Especially if we fumble on the first play again.
We're not going to do that. Or I'm leaving. I mean,
Josh Heupel, good on him. I mean, if he's here that long, which you hope, but, you know.
Right. In all likelihood, that means it worked out.
Maybe not. But, you know, that coach just has to have one positive play. That first play just has to be positive to make it a better experience than it was the last time for Tennessee fans.
No, for sure. Yeah, that's a great point. The only way to go is up.
Exactly.
All right, let's talk some Tennessee baseball. Let's get it rolling into some good news. A little upset, I know. I'm sorry. Let's talk good news. Tennessee baseball gets another series win, this time against Kentucky. Landon mentioned it. Kentucky kind of shocked them with some of the offense that they had.
Yeah, dude, they could hit it. I mean, and the sound of their bats, like, it didn't sound like BB Core bats. I'm not saying they're juiced. I'm not saying they're juiced.
I guess corked. They can't be corked, but you get the idea.
I mean, they have some guys on that team that can straight up hit the ball. TJ Collette is one of the best hitters. I think Tony Vitello said it the other night that he's one of the best hitters in this league. And, you know, I said on the bat flip right before – so we did it right before that Thursday game, and I was like, we're going to have to keep TJ Collette in the yard. His first at bat, he goes yard. I was like, dang it.
Could be a long weekend.
Right. But you got the bats going on Friday night. Chad Dallas shoved it like he's done all year long. He's now 7-1 on the year, and you get that win. You only needed three innings to do it on Friday. You score in the second, third, and fourth and score those 14 runs, and that was all you needed against Kentucky on Thursday night. And then Friday night, Kentucky just had it. I mean, our two runs were off solo shots, and I think they hit like three home runs, and they were like a three-run shot, a two-run shot, another two-run shot. You know, Tennessee just couldn't get – guys around with when runners were on. And I know that's kind of been a reoccurring issue at times for Tennessee. You know, especially when the bases are loaded, you got to get people, you got to score, you got to score runs. And, you know, they struggled to do that on Friday night. I thought Will Heflin pitched a decent game, ran into some trouble. Sean Hundley got rocked.
Yeah.
He pitched well on Thursday and then got rocked on Saturday or Friday. That's just the game of baseball. And then you go into the rubber match, you know, you definitely needed this series. You didn't want to lose one to Kentucky. But you come out, they score first in the top of the first. I thought Blade Tidwell pitched well. I thought Redmond Walsh was phenomenal when he came in. Mm-hmm. Got the save for his fifth of the year. And Tennessee had a big sixth inning where Jake Rucker, who struck out four times on Friday night, but I mentioned that game of baseball is just something that can, you know, you can let it carry over or you can reset and have a completely new approach when you come into that next game. And that's what Jake Rucker did. He had a great game. He had a grand slam in the sixth inning that really kind of, I wouldn't say end it, but I mean, it was – if it wasn't the nail in the coffin, it was – you know, he was about to hammer it. and then Luke Lipsius hits another two-run shot in that inning to – and they score seven runs, and that was kind of you know, all she wrote from there.
Right.
Because he won that game 11-2. Jordan Beck had four hits in that game. Luke Lipsius homered in all three of the games this weekend. So Tennessee got the bats going a little bit. I thought Jackson Greer was great this weekend, hitting the baseball, and did a good job. While Connor Pavloni is dealing with a little hand fracture. Mm-hmm. So I mean, Tennessee just got it done. Liam Spence just gets on base. That's all he does. I think that's his 45th game in a row that he's reached base. It's a pretty good streak going there. Thought Max Ferguson played well. I mean, pretty much everybody just did their job all weekend. Right. They're good defensively. Didn't have too many errors. Maybe on – so we had one yesterday. Let me see.
I'll pull the box score from Friday. Because I know there was a couple innings that
Tennessee struggled.
But it was pitching, really, though, that Tennessee struggled with on Friday.
Yeah, we had three on the weekend, so not bad. That's something you definitely want to clean up. I think you had
just
six last weekend, mm-hmm. or five, something like that. So definitely want to improve on that a little bit. Keep getting runners in scoring position. Got to get those runners in. But I think Tennessee's sitting well to host a regional, maybe even a super regional at this point. Got to take care of business in these last three series. That'll be number one, Arkansas, and then Missouri. You got Missouri next week, then Arkansas, then South Carolina. Yeah. So, you know, two of those are winnable. I mean, even Arkansas, that's a winnable series for Tennessee. But you definitely want to take care of business in two of those and see what happens against Arkansas. And, you know, hopefully we find ourselves there for regionals and super regionals.
Right. And I mean, hey, this, you know, the way it's building up, Tennessee for an exciting SEC tournament run.
Yeah, that'd be nice too. I think the last time they made it, they got put out in the first round to an Auburn team that was pretty good. So yeah, like hopefully you're able to kind of compete against those guys that you've competed, you know, all year long with, and kind of see where you stand with all those teams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Exciting time. Lindsey Nelson, God, it's amazing. Unfortunately, this next series is in Missouri, but. I think you know, you talked about it, you know, there were some errors last weekend, but you know, the inning that got away from them at A&M, the couple innings that, you know, this week on Friday, really, that the Tennessee struggled with, it's pitching. So just clean up some things in pitching. I think Tennessee, it kind of moves them to a different level, obviously, you know, especially on same deal on Friday night, getting guys in scoring position home. But I mean, really, I think a lot of your innings that get away from you are coming from your bullpen. So what can those guys do to take Tennessee, this team, to a different level? I think it could really change the landscape of the postseason for them if they can figure that out.
Yeah, absolutely. That's got to be a point of emphasis. I think maybe getting another arm or two that you're at, you know, maybe we see more of Camden Sewell later on than we've seen in the past couple series. But Sean Hundley's done a great job all season. Yeah, I mean, there's some teams that get a hold of him. Like Jack Leiter the other night, Florida ripped him up. Tennessee ripped him up. I mean, he's dominated pretty much all season. But, yeah, at any time, somebody can get hot at the plate. And, you know, that's just the world we live in. That's the SEC baseball for you. And, I mean, some of these are the best hitters in college baseball that you're going to see. So, yeah, definitely want to see kind of more from them. But, you know, I think they've held their own with not having some dominant guys like, you know, some of these other programs.
Yeah, for sure. Like you mentioned, Tennessee takes on Missouri in Missouri this Friday, Saturday, Sunday, going back to the – we'll call it the dreaded series. they got to play that early Sunday game. Doesn't feel the same, but hopefully Tennessee, like you said, gets a good series win, kind of elevates them. They don't play this. We don't have a weak game this week. So let's do it again on Friday.
Well, we're going to see a little extra something from Tony V these next two weekends.
Oh, yeah?
With alma mater Missouri this weekend. And then he coached previously at Arkansas. I think Tennessee is, you know, we're going to see their best baseball these next two weekends. I'm sure of it.
Yeah, definitely be a good way to kind of stick it to, because I mean, you no matter the love you have for the alma mater or you know, the place you kind of got your start, you always want to beat them still.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Jeremy Pruitt loved Alabama, but you know that game.
I'm not convinced he wanted to beat him. I'm just kidding. Yeah, you're right about that.
I mean, yeah, you saw the fire and passion. I think Tony Vitello is going to be that same way this weekend. Maybe even more so than Jeremy Pruitt was. We're going to call it hella timeouts.
Love it.
Replaying everything. That's a sign to replay.
We're checking it all.
Yeah.
Come on. Check
it. Got to get it right, guys.
For the love of the game. For the love of the game. Exactly. That's it. It's for the love of the game. All right, we got any questions? I haven't got any in the chat. Just some comments. Yeah, I think a lot of people think Kansas City got a steal, Trey Smith. I think they got him at good value. I'll say that. Really good value. So,
yeah, I mean, if it doesn't work, it's another six-round pick that, you know, doesn't work out. But if you strike money, I mean, you got him for a great price.
Yep.
And so, yeah, I think it is, like you said, good value. I think we did have a question. I'm trying to. Maybe I do not.
You got most important of the week?
Most important. I just love the draft. I don't know what it is, but like it's one of my favorite sporting events. That's not an actual sport, I guess.
You like Roger Goodell's chair. That's what you like.
Yes. Yeah. I love his chair. I love his hugs. Big
RG. Speaking of which, to get a tweet about your hug, you give some shitty hugs.
It's true. Yeah.
I was not impressed by a single hug he gave out.
He almost gets trampled a lot too. So he's probably scared giving hugs.
We're going to have to teach Roger Goodell to be a little bit more aggressive. Just a bit more.
I mean, do you like after all those hugs, but like those are big dudes. You think he like takes like an ice bath or something? He's like sore after it.
Yes. 100%. 100%.
Yeah, I just love the draft. I don't know.
Draft's fun. I don't really know why either, because
there's stuff that annoys me, like everybody has a sob story. It's kind of like that with American Idol too.
Yeah.
I used to love American Idol, but now I can't stand it because now they don't want to make fun of anybody. So you don't get to see the bad auditions and everybody has a sob story. I just don't.
Yeah. Definitely. That's always the worst thing about like those talent shows, like I guess talent shows, the right way to put it. It's like, do some people just not like to sing? Like they had to do it because their grandmother who died 3 times once loves when they do it.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
I don't get it.
My first most important is, or I think my only one actually. It's from Marquette's, I believe it's their AD. Someone tweeted and was like, hear me out, a full home season of throwback jerseys, one for each game. And he tweeted back. He's like, this is something we've explored with our partners at Nike and Jordan. A terrific idea. But not, and he goes on, not without some financial and logistic hurdles, still on our radar. That would be freaking awesome for a team to do that. I don't like Tennessee football. How awesome would it be if every home game they were in? Because like Tennessee overall, like hasn't changed from orange and white. So it's just like, a different era of orange and white every game. You're going to wear the same helmet or pretty much wear the same pants most of the time. Yeah. That would be freaking awesome to see 6 different home jerseys from 6 different eras 1 year. I think this should be a good year to do it. Isn't that 100-year anniversary of Neyland?
Yeah, I think I read that.
I mean, I know Nike apparently can't produce jerseys in 6 months, so that would be hard. But
oh yeah,
that would be freaking cool.
Material's outrageous right now.
Yeah. It's hard to exploit those Chinese children like they do all the time.
You said it, not me.
But I think that would be a great idea. If Marquette does it, hopefully like works out and maybe draws like some other teams with great tradition in their respective sports. Because throwbacks are the best. If they're good, pick the good throwbacks, not like the Tennessee ones with the massive orange stripe. You remember those on the side?
Yeah, that was
like a small black stripe around them. It was terrible.
My next one is Buffalo's third round pick, the Northern Iowa offensive tackle, Spencer Brown. Did you see this video?
I don't know if I did.
He gets drafted and then, you know, he welcomes his new tradition and jumps on a table.
Like through it?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Love that. Love that.
He's ready, Bills Mafia.
Man of the people.
Absolutely.
I thought I had a fail. Now I don't have any more most important. That was it for me.
I think it was cool that some of those like draft picks got reunited with some of their
With their Alabama teammates.
Yeah, pretty much. So Trevor Lawrence, Travis Etienne are both going to Jacksonville. Jalen Waddle is headed to the Dolphins with Tua. And then you got Jalen Hurts and Devontae Smith. So, yeah, I thought that was pretty cool.
Well,
Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase.
That's good. That's a good point.
If Joe Burrow is still there, I mean, crap.
Golly.
I think they end up getting an offensive lineman in like the second or third round, but still.
Still not. They needed. It's nuts. Okay, so speaking of quarterbacks, who do you have Aaron Rodgers in and up back? Because he's not going to play for the Green Bay this year. Like, it's not going to happen.
I don't know. I hate the people that are like, oh, he's just going to retire. No, he's not.
He says he is if they don't trade him. Next Jeopardy host, Aaron Rodgers.
I honestly don't. I don't know.
Oh.
I mean, what are the Packers going to do?
Oh, come on. They're going to play Jordan Love. Is that his name?
Oh, yeah. God.
I love it.
I mean,
it's hilarious. Like how mismanaged the Packers are. I think it's hilarious.
Who did they draft in the first round?
They drafted – crap. Who did they end up getting?
Was a defensive tackle or something?
It was not a position that, you know, really would have benefited him that much.
I don't understand what, like.
You mean this year, right? I assume.
Yeah, I'm just like, okay, yeah. You know, he's not happy, so why
Eric,
not?
They drafted like, Eric. They drafted a corner. They drafted Eric Stokes.
I'm just like, why can't you just do one thing to make the guy happy? It's just one thing.
Right. It's incredibly dumb. That's my fail. The Packers organization. Oh, that's what it was. It was Nashville SC. You know I'm a fan of Nashville SC. But I have to go out on this one. They did play today. I don't know what they ended up doing. It was 0-0, I think, at the half. They've had a lot of draws lately. I don't know what the score is. But anyway, so they announced for their stadium. Yeah, it did end up 0-0. For their new stadium, they announced a honky-tonk in the stadium. That's a terrible idea. That's not – I just hate when sports try to make it – just make it about sports. Like, yes, like, you know, like how I'm with Vol baseball, like make it fun and accessible. Like make it cheap. Make the drinks cheap like that. But you don't have to make it anymore. Like nothing – this is my tweet. I was like, nothing says soccer more like music from a band you don't even like. A cover band like – I'll find it exactly. But – when you go to a Nashville bar, you don't even know who's playing. You don't care. You're just there to drink.
Right.
Like you're at a soccer game. Watch is going to a soccer game like baseball. You don't go to a baseball game and go sit inside at a restaurant.
Yeah. Who does that? That's freaking stupid.
It's so dumb.
Dude, the Smokies have a restaurant, right?
Yeah, they do. But I think like, I don't think anybody really eats in there during the game. I don't know. Maybe they do.
Yeah. Maybe it's used before, but yeah, like,
If
you want to go to a honky tonk, go to Broadway. Like, it's not that far.
And that's what they're like. We're trying to make it like tradition of Nashville. I'm like, but you're a soccer stadium. Like, I tweeted, nothing says soccer match like hanging out in a bar listening to covers from bands you don't even like.
Yeah, like, nothing sounds like a country music honky tonk sounds like soccer to me.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
They go hand in hand.
It's just so dumb. It's like, How have the Titans even existed without a honky tonk inside of Nissan? It blows my mind. Like, they need to build it. Build it and they will come.
That's why they haven't won a Super Bowl, right?
Exactly. Dude, it's so dumb. I'm just like, why do people make the simplest things so hard? Build a nice stadium. Make the food cheap. It's not that hard.
It's incredible.
It's not that hard. I hate that I got to compliment Atlanta, but like Atlanta, they haven't gone like Atlanta. You've been to the Falcon Stadium, right?
I have not been there, but I know the food is like reasonable.
Yeah. And like, what's so like, you can get like concession food for like cheap, like, you know, like you would a concession stand.
Mm-hmm.
But then they have like local, like Atlanta stuff. I think, I mean, some stuff not local, like I think I got like a barbecue from like a local Atlanta barbecue place. But you know what I didn't do? I didn't go inside the restaurant and sit down during the soccer game.
Right.
I got my food concession style, went and sat down. I mean, I paid like $10 for a big thing of nachos, but like that's what you're gonna pay for at the restaurant. So it's like, ah, it's whatever.
Yeah. I mean, those people that spend money to get in the stadium and then go sit in a restaurant while the game's gone, that makes zero
listen sense. to listen to a band.
Right. That you can go listen to for free on Broadway right now. You don't even have to go in the bar. You can like stand outside and hear it.
That's a good point. Or listen to the homeless guy play it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Whichever one. Everybody's did you see where that homeless guy was throwing his colostomy bag around? What's it called? Kid Rock's bar?
When?
I think it was last night.
Oh, last night? Yeah. I was there. I didn't go in. I walked by it, I guess, Wednesday? Tuesday.
Dude, you didn't go into Kid Rock's honky-tonk?
I didn't have to. I could hear it from outside.
Yeah, he was so here it is. Man arrested at Kid Rock's bar for removing colostomy bag and swinging it around. And apparently people were like getting feces thrown on them was the, you know, and the correct term.
Gross.
Oh.
Dude, I'd snooze a homeless man. If I got crap on me, I'm snoozing a homeless guy.
Apparently on the Nashville Scanner it said at least one officer heading home for 30 to 40 minutes to get a change of clothes, take as much time as you need.
Oh my God.
Someone tweeted, I guess. I'm not comfortable being in the same bar with someone swinging his colostomy bag around years old.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is worse, Morgan Wallen getting in a fight there or the colostomy bag?
Yeah, probably a colostomy bag. I'm going to go with that.
Bold choice.
Feces trumps all. My next one is Major League Baseball reviews. They just are terrible. I don't know why they do them. They never are overturned. There's one with the A's where, like, they slow it down. His hand touches home plate, and then he is tagged.
Oh, that was bad. Oh, and, wait, no, that wasn't the Braves one I was thinking of. Sorry.
I mean, this one is very similar to that. And he's called out on the field, they review it, and he's called out again. I'm just like, it's not hard. You can admit you're wrong because that's what the review is for.
Right. It's like the guy on ESPN. The guy that does the reviews for MLB, he's like the guy at ESPN. He always agrees with the refs.
Oh, my God. Hey, we're going to bring in our guy here. He's going to tell – what do you think about that call? He's like, yeah, so
– the refs did the right thing here.
Yeah, they did the right thing. I think it's close, but, I think I'm going to go with the call on the field. Well, no crap you're going to go with the call on the field.
They need to just not allow them to give opinions. Like, just tell us what the rule is, and we'll make our judgment. That's it. That's all they should be allowed to do. Because, like, you know, sometimes there's, like, some nuances to the rule that you're not super familiar with. So just tell us the rule, and then we'll form our own opinion. That's it. Because your opinion's dumb anyways.
That's incredible.
You got any more fails?
Yeah, that's all I got. Tony Vitello got into it, I think, on Friday night with the umpire. He was not having a good day.
The ump or Tony, or both?
The ump. I mean, I guess, you know, when you look at the score on Friday night, Tennessee didn't have a great night either. But
sorry, I set that one up.
Yeah. Mom did not have a great day.
Yikes.
That's all I got for fails.
That's all my fails too. Nashville. You suck. Two Nashvilles.
Honky tonks.
Both honky tonks failed. This week.
Poop everywhere.
See, do you want poop in your soccer stadium?
Exactly.
That's what you get with a honky tonk. Europe's like, that's just another day at a soccer stadium. What do you mean? Football stadium.
What are those horns?
Vuvuzelas. Vuvuzelas.
Vuvuzelas.
Yeah. Something. Right.
Yeah. Just like those. And poop flying around, I don't want any part of either one of those things. They're a bad combination waiting to happen.
That is a bad combination, and I like the Vuvuzelas, but that's a bad combination. Guys, appreciate you listening. We'll be back on Wednesday, I think. I know we've had some weird schedules lately. Coming at you a little early today, but try to maybe back on time this week. I don't know. We'll see. Yeah, we're keeping on your toes.
Exactly. Yeah. Got to be prepared. Got to be flexible.
Exactly. Guys, always appreciate y'all listening. It's always fun. We'll see you on Wednesday.
Thanks again. We're bringing the boat in, and we out.